5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room Radio Show, brought to you by Hellbound Books Publishing. Experienced publishers of horror, noir, bizarro, and all things dark in paperback, ebook, and audiobook. You can find us at www.hellboundbooks.com. But first, get your feet up and enjoy the show.
Episode 329, good lord, on the 2nd of November 2023, and that is a great, great song from the old days of punk, Jilted John, by Jilted John, which is pretty high on the list of songs they would never dare make today for so many reasons, but an absolute classic, so I hope everyone enjoyed that. It's been a while since I've heard that. I've got the whole album, actually. Maybe one show will play the whole damned album, which would be fantastic. But anyway, I've missed her this week, so let's bring her on. have you been doing? How are you? Are we still awake? It's been a week.
Yes.
It's been a week. This is the second time I've done this week. Tuesday, Halloween night, I was on a great podcast with Stevie Ray, who is a Hall of Famer pro wrestling sort of chap. Also a huge horror fan, a great, great guy. I had a great time on his show. It's funny because it wasn't until the last minute I discovered it was actually a video podcast thing. I looked a proper sight. I really did.
Oh goodness! No, just a few days after Halloween, I still can't believe Halloween's already over with. I mean, I just put up my decorations. I mean, okay, that's not true.
In June,
you know, it feels like I just put up my decorations, and I can't believe it's already over. But I did have a lovely, lovely Halloween. We did the whole candy thing, over 25 pounds of candy gone in like 2 hours. So
25 pounds of, there must be some really fat kids in your neighborhood. With no teeth. I think because obviously I was doing the interview thing. I think judging by the dogs barking, I think we only had one or two, and we put a bowl outside, and most of it was still there when I'd done, and when India got home, my daughter got home. Because she went out trick or treating with it. I mean, she's 14, but she still went out trick or treating. So.
Oh yeah. I don't. You know what? I've seen so many arguments about that online. You know, teenagers shouldn't go, and you know what? I don't care how old you are. You could be older than me and show up, and I'll give you candy. I'm okay with
absolutely.
It.
Even
the moms pushing the little babies in the you know strollers. I don't care. I know it's not for your baby.
I used to be the dad that did that. I used to take the kid, and I used to from when my son was literally a baby in a stroller. We would go, and I would put him in a little costume, and push him out.
It's just fun for everyone. So we did that, and then afterwards we watched Scream 2 because it was just, you know. I love the Scream movies. They're nothing. Anyway, it was a nice, very nice Halloween that I had, and then I had the little tiny bit of depression afterwards that it's over with, this does not come
now you have
January.
You have Christmas coming up now. So.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. And I'm already joking around. I'm like, I can put up the tree, right? And the husband says, absolutely not until we have turkey. And then I saw this amazing meme today that said, you know, even if you put up your tree now, the turkey is going to taste the same. Like it doesn't have any. But he still won't let me.
It'll taste the same as what?
Well, as the same as it would if you don't have your tree up. So it's going to taste the same.
No, when I was a kid, the tree used to go up like, you know, 3 or 4 days before Christmas, you know, it was still November.
Oh, my goodness. No, the day after Thanksgiving. I mean, okay, we have like a huge tree.
I think that's traditional over here,
There's a whole bunch of decorations. Like, it would be a waste, I think, to put it up a couple of days after or before. That's just a waste of time. So, especially because I have so many decorations that it takes a couple of days just to drag them all out. So, I think it started early. I told you about going to Spirit Halloween because they had a 50% off sale, and today was the last day, and it is pretty sad when I didn't buy anything. Like, I was just like, meh. Like, I think you should check my head to see if I have a fever or what's wrong with me, because it's not normal.
My goodness me. I know. Yeah. You usually manage to find some bargain or other.
I know. It's just sad. I know. But, you know, what are you going to do?
But yeah, it's obviously countdown to Halloween now, and then it's just. Although to be fair, I'm going to be glad to see the back of this year. It's been a rough one. It has been. Personally speaking, business wise, it's been great. Hellbound is doing tremendously well. Business wise, we've been a good one, but personally, it's been shit. If I have to, you know me. I'm a very private person. I'm not one to air my my woes, but it's not been the best of years for me. So
it's been
hey ho.
I think it's been trying in a lot of ways for many people. I really do. I'm always trying to look on the bright side. And the fact that it seemed to have gone by crazily fast. I mean, that's, I can say, well, if it had to be a shitty year, at least we got it over with quickly.
But I know, but that just means we're hurtling towards our grades faster, which is no comfort. To tell you the
truth.
Next year will go by even quicker. I mean, I do it every year, but I'll be all excited. Oh, brand new year, nice shiny brand new year, and then I think we say it every year. I hope next year we'll be back. But then the ironic thing is, again, business wise, Hellbound Books wise, everything's fine. Everything's going well. We've done some great things this year. We've signed some terrific authors. We've had our last minute. So we've got our last publications out now. They're all done time for Halloween, obviously for the Christmas period. So buy horror books for your loved ones, people. Some great anthem. We've got Happy Holidays, which is a favourite of mine. Some poetry ones, I'm told. Flying Dark by John W. Sargent, who hopefully will be on the show in a couple of weeks. Playground of the Dead, which is a great one by Stone Wallace. Madame Gray's Graveyard. We have a couple from Madame Gray, actually, who is becoming a bit of a horror institution in her own right, God bless her.
She is, yeah. And I have to say,
I joke about poetry. Her poetry anthology, All My Not So Pretty Ones, is fucking phenomenal. We've actually entered it into, along with a couple of others, have entered it into the Bram Stoker Award. So fingers crossed on that one. I mean, it deserves it. I mean, I think you did something, something poetry as well, I think. Didn't you? Something. You made an effort,
Tina,
I suppose.
Tina just had a release as well from The Passenger Window. And, I received my first copy there. And, oh, my goodness, it is gorgeous. I just love it. For the first couple of days, I couldn't stop carrying it around with me and stroking it every so often because it's so beautiful.
It is pretty. Yeah. It is very pretty. It really is, yeah.
It is. And we have, Hellbound has some amazing audiobooks coming out, amazing audiobooks that we've had go live recently, and I'm just so excited about all of the audiobooks because it just seems like the narrators, they're just getting better. Like, they're getting so good, and I just get so excited listening to them. So that's awesome. So, yay.
Oh, absolutely.
All good
stuff. We did attract some great talent, say audio talent, artist talent. We've trialed a couple of brand new cover artists who've been phenomenal. So one who did Brett McCormick's Crimes of Hate, a terrific anthology that came out last month. September now, so we're in November now. And the guy who did obviously Playground of the Dead was designed by Kevin Enhart, who's been with us pretty much from the beginning. He's been one of our artists for like 8 years now. A guy called I don't know his real name is actually T Arts. over in, he's in the Philippines, I believe, who did Flying Dart, which is one of the best covers I've seen in a long time. So,
Gotta give a shout out to the authors,
you know, some great authors, you know, shout out to Paul Kane, and Stone and John, and I've been business-wise, I'm over the moon this year. We've actually already got a bunch of good books lined up for next year. If we're not careful, we'll have filled next year's quota before we even start. And I don't like to do that because, there's always those ones that will pop up and you think, like with Erin Lewis, you know, she just popped up, obviously, which she co-wrote with Armand, who we knew. And then she sent her next novel, The South of Heaven, which was just like a breath of fresh air. It was just funny. It was quirky. Yeah. It was horror.
And Colleen was really good, it was
sexy.
Too.
And Colleen, again, which is very lovely dollop of dark humor, which, as you know, you know, if you, you're pretty much one guaranteed to be published by Hellbound Books, send dark humor filled horror to me, and it'll probably get published, but yeah, it's nice to have that leeway for somebody just pops us up, shit, we've got to get this out. So next year will be an even better year for Hellbound, hopefully a better year personally.
We deserve it.
Oh my goodness! Anywho, you know, I could sit in that. We could sit now. We need to do that. We have a show where we have a good old moan, some good old whine. I think we need.
I don't think it's been that long. I think we've done that. Yeah.
I'm getting older, and I mean, let's face it, you're no spring chicken anymore. So I think you know, we're now in a place where we can do that. We can just have a good old grumble about, you know, things are not how they used to be. You know, I remember when we used to reminisce and what's the world coming to, and all the good old people stuff, and, you know, talk about, you know, the bits of string that we've saved this week. That's just the great stuff, you know. So I think you need to schedule that. You should make a note. But in the meantime, what have we got going on this evening?
I am excited. We have two horror authors that are fresh meat for us because they've not been on the show before. So I know, right? So yeah, our first guest of the evening, we're going to have James Kane on, and then a little bit later on the show, we have Chase Will. And of course, we're going to have our Samantha on later too. So it's going to be amazing.
Lovely Samantha.
Yeah.
We love her. We love her. Yeah. So I think you need to.
Alrighty, the first guest of the evening, we have horror author James Kane. Woo!
Hello!
Hey. Hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing? Another James. This is the James show tonight, so welcome.
Absolutely, good company. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us, James.
Where are you calling from, James?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
New Jersey. I was hoping I had another Southerner, but no, it's got to be New Jersey.
No, you got one of those East Coast guys, Northeast.
Awesome. So what's the weather like right now?
It's friggin' cold today. I was not expecting it. It was like all mild, you know. We had a Halloween party on Saturday. It was near 80 degrees, and all of a sudden, you know, winter decided to show up. Out of nowhere. My car window got my driver's side window. I tried to roll it down because it wasn't defrosted all the way, and it got stuck in a down position for about a half hour. So I had to go back in and let it defrost. So yeah, it's a strange day.
Yeah, it was pretty mild here up until pretty much Halloween. The night before we had a little bit of rain, and then it ushered in some cold weather. And I think it's going down to like the 20s for like 3 days in a row. And like, it's really, you know, James is over there with his flip flops and, you know, Bermuda shorts in Texas.
Hey, you do mock, but it's been cold this week. It's been down to, I think it's going to get down to 34 tonight. Wow. So it's been holy dropping down to the 30s and 40s this week. Back in the 80s next week. So next week, yeah, flip-flops and back in the T-shirt and shorts next week. So, but yeah, it has. Yeah. It's been unnaturally cold here this week. So there.
Very well.
I know. I thought you were going to say it's getting, you know, right down to 79 or something, but you surprised me. So, yeah, hope you stay warm there. Yeah, so James, you're here to talk to us about your book, My Pet Werewolf. To stop a monster, he'll need one of his own. So tell us a little bit about it.
It just came out last month, September, end of September. It's a story about a teenager who's grieving the death of his father and kind of still working through those issues. His mom's remarried to his dad's best friend, and him and his sister are both, his twin sister are both dealing with it in different ways, whereas, you know, he's kind of more introspective and withdrawn. She's kind of acting out and, you know, kind of getting a reputation at school. And, you know, he feels like he has to take on that fatherly role for her, which, you know, some causes conflict. And then one night while he gets into a fight with a school bully, they end up in a fight and a chase in the woods where he sees him get ripped to pieces by a werewolf. He realizes the werewolf is captured and takes that opportunity to use it to solve some of his own problems.
Nice. I have to say on the show, I always beg a free copy. I make a joke that, you know, when you make the signed copy, it's X-T-I-N-A. And James was kind enough to send me the book, not too long ago, and I've been reading it, and I'm really enjoying it.
Good.
Yeah, I really am. I love the writing and I love the characters. And I think, you know, sometimes, I don't know, for me, it's not even as much about the story as it is the writing and the characters. If they suck me in, you pretty much have me. So, I'm really enjoying it. So what was the inspiration behind this?
You know, it was funny because I went through a period after I wrote it where I'm thinking, where the hell did I come up with this idea? I don't even remember at this point. And then it hit me. I released my first book last year, and that was a slasher book. I had my idea for about 10 years. You know, I was going to write it as a screenplay at first, and I took a little bit of a screenwriting background, and I was going to do that. And, I always knew that was going to be my first book once I decided to go the novel writing route. And I knew after I was done with that, I wanted to do a werewolf book because I've always loved werewolves. I've loved Silver Bullets, one of my favorite movies of all time. Dog Soldiers more recently. The werewolf TV show and on Fox back in 1987, the first year Fox was on the air. It was kind of like The Incredible Hulk with a werewolf instead of a big green brute. I love that show. And ever since, I've always loved werewolves, Monster Squad, of course. And, I kind of like hard to find good werewolf fiction now, not just in books and movies. And it's just, friggin' Twilight and True Blood hijacked them. And took them into the romance. At least, you know, Twilight had some gore and nudity to hold us over, but Twilight's just unforgivable. No offense to anybody that's a Twilight fan. But
it's true.
But man, I'm like, holy shit, these guys are supposed to rip your head off, not make love to you. So it's like, come on. And so I knew I needed to make my own contribution to the genre. And but I didn't quite know what kind of story I wanted to tell, and I was watching probably about a year and a half ago, I was watching the movie Bad Moon, which is actually based on a really cool a werewolf book called Thor, which is actually told from a dog's point of view. It's a German Shepherd, and it's about there's a single mom and her son, and it's their dog. And her brother comes in with him, and he's acting weird, and the dog doesn't trust him. And it turns out he's a werewolf. And there's a scene in the movie where, and I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a scene in the movie where the dog, he runs off in the woods. He senses something's wrong because the uncle goes out every night because it's not a full moon thing. He turns every night. And the werewolf and the dog goes out and he sees the werewolf chained to the tree. And, you know, the werewolf growls and the dog barks and runs off. And I kind of said, all right, well, what if somebody found a werewolf that's wrapped up, that's chained up somewhere and can't get out? And, you know, how could they exploit that? What would they want to? How would they handle it? So
interesting.
Yeah. So that's kind of where the genesis of that comes from. And I kind of just expanded the story from there.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right. I think that vampires and definitely zombies, they have been done to death, but I really don't see a whole lot to do with werewolves, you know. I mean, outside of, like you said, True Blood or Twilight, but and they don't, I don't think they really count anyway. But so that, you know, they're really vicious werewolves, which, you know, and to be honest, even vampires in modern stuff are more or way more tame than your, you know. I definitely think we need more werewolf stories. I can't remember the last werewolf story I've read, to be honest. So I'm really digging this.
The last one I read was Mongrels by Stephen Graham Jones, which was fantastic. The one before, well, movie-wise, obviously there was Dog Soldiers relatively recently. The last really good werewolf book I read before that would have been The Howling back in the 80s. Branner's Howling.
Yeah.
But you're right, there's been, you know, bits and pieces. I actually wrote a really good werewolf short story a number of years ago. But yeah, you're right, it's not been plundered as much as zombies and vampires, which is great. I'm with James. I'm a big werewolf fan, but you know, I'd hate to see it, you know, ruined like that. You know.
It's kind of crazy too, because like it's so rich for opportunities. I mean, especially like when you got the kind of Jekyll and Hyde aspect, or kind of like almost like a Frankenstein's monster aspect, and you know, there's so many routes that you can go with it. I mean, the last werewolf books I read, two of them is a series by Ray Garton, Ravenous and Bestial. And that was a crazy take on it, because in there, the werewolf curse was sexually transmitted. So that was a really interesting one. But it's really well done, and it's kind of crazy. And then there was another one. It's actually a comic book that came out maybe 6-7 years ago called Wolf Moon. And that was a cool concept, because the wolf wasn't attached to a single person. It would just jump from person to person. Like one time you'd be in a bathroom of a restaurant and you turn into a werewolf and you wouldn't even know. Like, so they were kind of trying to track down. So there's a lot of cool things you could do with it. And then, you know, some of the like, you know, more recent movies, like they drive me a little crazy, because, you know, I watched Werewolves Within came out last year, and it was a good movie. Don't get me wrong, but like there wasn't enough werewolf in it. Like there wasn't like werewolf to the, and then The Wolf of Snow Hollow was another one. That was really, really, really good until the twist at the end. And it kind of like, I'm not going to spoil it, but it was just like, oh, come on. So yeah, I kind of felt obligated to, you know, put my little stamp on the genre, because it's definitely my favorite monster.
Definitely. I want to hear more. Did you have an excerpt that you're going to read for us?
Yeah, I have one. You want me to just go ahead, or?
Yeah, if you have to set it up or anything, you can do that. But yeah, whichever way you prefer.
Sure, I got it in front of me. I'm not a narrator by trade, so you'll have to excuse me. But I'll do my best.
Okay.
All right. I mean, you want me to set the scene, or it's basically this is after after Brady, the main character, has trapped the werewolf. And I thought this was a good good little interaction between them, because they there's nothing really too spoilery, like, because you know from reading the synopsis he's captured and he's going to use them. So this is a good little excerpt to do this. All right. I'd gone to visit Gunther every couple of days to bring him a sandwich or some other non-processed food. On the weekends, I'd bring him a Dunkin' coffee and a donut. We didn't talk much. It was a little awkward being that he was my prisoner and all. When I entered the abandoned building and made my way to his cell, I could see him pacing through the window. He looked agitated. I opened the slot and slid the container of leftovers and a plastic fork and knife through the opening. He stopped when he saw them. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving, Brady? I did, but I wasn't about to rub it in his face. I noticed his voice sounded different. It reminded me of how Batman used that deep, gravelly voice while in costume. I brought you some food, I said. Gunther slapped the container away, its contents splattering the floor and the wall. Fuck you. This is almost over. It's never over, he growled at me. You think you're going to use me to kill your enemies and then we're all just going to go on our merry fucking way? You think there's such a thing as normal for you and me after this? We could try. He put his face up against the glass, his hot breath steaming it up. You're a fool. The wolf, he gets into your very being. He changes you, twists you. The harder I try to keep him at bay, the more he infests my soul. We'll find you help. That's what I was trying to do, he bellowed. But I got stuck in a fucking cave where some pissant little twerp was using me to do his dirty work. Fuck you, man, I shouted back at him. That son of a bitch was chasing me. He was trying to hurt me. I was just trying to get away. I ain't telling him to go in your fucking cave. Gunther stepped away from the window and started pacing again. He lowered his voice. I thought I could run from this. I thought I could stop it. You can, I said, not really believing it myself. He came back to the window, keeping a little more distance this time. Every cycle since I first turned, it gets worse. Every base instinct I have is amplified. As the full moon gets closer, I get more aggressive, angrier, hungrier. But last month, when the wolf killed and ate that boy, I woke up feeling better. God help me, for the first time since that initial cycle, I felt like myself again. It was like the wolf needed to be fed. When it was satisfied, it was easier to hold back. I gulped. You mean if you feed, you can control it? I thought so at first, but now, with the full moon coming, I feel those urges stronger than ever. The more the wolf feeds, the more it needs to. I didn't know how to respond to that. He continued, before this cycle ends, you're going to make me kill somebody. Maybe they even deserve it. But you know what the worst part of all this? I didn't answer, my silence beckoning him to continue. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh my gosh, I like that. That was good.
Thank you.
Now I want to, we just need to end the show so I can go keep reading. So, or you can just keep reading. I can just sit back. That's good too. I'm fine either way.
Okay. Yeah. That's why I figured if you didn't get too far ahead, that wasn't too spoilery, you know?
Yeah. No, that's really great. This just came out, you said, in September?
Yes. Yeah, September 26th.
And so what are you working on now? Do you just go directly into the next book, or do you take a little break in between?
Yeah, I wish. You know, I think my wife wishes I would take a break, but it's not really in my nature. Right now I'm actually working on two novellas. That I'm going to be, I'm planning on, they're going to be exclusive for my mailing list. So they're going to be free, ebook only. One I'm almost done with. It's the, prequel to My Pet Werewolf. It's called Gunther. It basically is the story of how the werewolf, his origin story. So it's not, nowhere near as long, but it's a nice little backstory. And I think it's going to be a nice treat for, you know, the people that sign up for my mailing list, they can have something that's exclusive, you know, just for them. I'm excited about that one. And that's hopefully December, because my editor is going to have it next week. And hopefully by the time it gets to me and I revise and whatever else needs to be done, I already have the cover, everything done and ready to go. So, and then after that, I'm targeting another one for January. It's actually the first in a series, which, again, I'm going to give it away for free. Probably need to have a head examined, but I'm going to give it to my mailing list. It's I'm doing a series based on folklore and urban legends from different states. Nice. I read an article a few years ago about the scariest urban legend from each state. I said, oh, man, like, this is great. You gave me 50 writing prompts. This is awesome. It's called American Horrors, and the first installment is called The Dead Children's Playground. And it's,
oh, wow.
It's based on in Alabama, in Huntsville, there's a cemetery, and next to the cemetery, or I think that's actually part of the cemetery, is a playground. And apparently a lot of the children that died in the Spanish flu in 1918 are buried there. And people talk about at night that they can see swings move in and, you know, dirt puffing up by the slide, like kids are sliding down it and hear laughter. So I developed a cool little story around that that I'm pretty excited about.
Now, you've must have done a lot of research for that. And being that that's your first one, is that your favorite urban legend?
Well, being in Jersey, I'm a big fan of the Jersey Devil. That's one. But I didn't want to, you know, both my novels take place in Jersey. I like to travel, so I figured let's go. I've never been to Alabama, but let's go outside of Jersey for one. And I thought out of all of them, I thought that one was cool. I could visualize the cover, and so I was just like, you know, there's other ones. There's really some really cool ones out there that I'm excited to dive into. There's one in Hawaii that's really cool. One up in Salem, Massachusetts. So they're all over the place. There's no shortage of stuff to write about. And then once I'm done with that, then I'm gonna jump into my third novel, which I would love to have out by the spring, but I'm not really gonna push the pace too much on that.
Yeah, so many things going on. It just makes me want to take a nap.
Naps are great. Yeah.
Speaking of, you were talking about giving away freebies, and I have been noticing the arguments online in the horror community in the last couple of days. Because of the free book event on Halloween, anybody else seeing that?
We had some books. It was actually Jerry R. Gray who brought it to my attention. We had some books involved in that, and it did well. Yes, so we were giving them away. Personally, I'm from a sales and marketing background. I've done retail. I don't think there's anything wrong. If an author wants to give the books away to raise their profile, to raise awareness, I think it is a fucking good idea. All these people, they should get paid. It's like nobody's forced them. You know, no, it's not like we went to Jerry and said, we're going to give you a dump. She came to us and said, great, let's give it a go. For every download, some people... probably just download it on the Kindle, it'll sit there forever. Other people, but everybody who's downloaded it, they're aware of that book, that author, that publisher, and I think it's exactly the same as a supermarket doing lost leaders. A lot of the times, like gasoline, they'll knock the price down on gasoline. They don't make a lot of profit on that, but it gets people through the door. They'll do a deal on baked beans. And they will probably lose money on those beans, but people coming in to get the cheap beans, they're going to buy other stuff. So, they're aware that suddenly, this is the supermarket that does great deals. So, that's my two penneth within anyway. So, there you go. Everybody's entitled to my opinion. That's what I say.
I didn't realize there was a lot of controversy around it. I'd seen a lot of positive responses, but I guess there was people were, saying we shouldn't be giving away. It's funny because, like James said, it's marketing. It's part of it. That's why most of us have a mailing list where you give out a free book, or in my case, I want to give out three, and they're not full length books. I'll save that for my sales. And the only reason I didn't really participate, now I think about it, I really should have put in my first book as part of that, But, you know, I was like, because right now my book's still, you know, new, so I'm kind of riding that wave of novelty and newness with the sales, you know, so. But, you know, I guess it's kind of the same thing about, you know, putting your books in Kindle Unlimited. There's a lot of, you know, should you do it, should you not? But the way I see it is, you know, if you're going to – the people that are going to borrow the books in Kindle Unlimited or download a free book, they're not the people that are going to buy your book at full price.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a different audience.
It's true. It is. And, you know, I agree as well. I have I did one of those free, I think it was a free weekend for my stuff. And, you know, mm-hmm. you know, and here's something, too, that I always think about. I know people say, you know, you have to write for the people or, you know, your audience or something, but I kind of write for myself, you know? So, if I were trying to make money, I would not write poetry because it does not sell. You can, you know, ask a, you know. but at the same time, if, you know, you give out a free book, that's somebody who's going to go and, you know, maybe look you up and maybe see what else you've written and decide, you know. Because I do that. If I read a book and I like it, I go to the page, I look at the, you know, the author, I try to find other books that I might like as well. And just, I don't know, I couldn't see the, but you know what, these days right now on the internet, there's somebody who's going to argue at over every post. So it's become 100%. So toxic that I was not even really surprised. I'm like, seriously, it's supposed to be this, you know, fun, you know, event and get, you know, bunch of the authors noticed and oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But I did want to bring it up because I've seen it over and over and over.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy. And I like it. It's funny. I always say the horror community and I think the heavy metal community are two of the nicer ones out there, despite our proclivity towards dark and disturbing stuff. But it's, you know, but it's like you said, it's like, you know, so if someone reads My Pet Werewolf and they get to the end and they find out, okay, ooh, I can get a prequel. I can learn more. I like this book. I can find out more for free just by signing up for this mailing list. And I just got to put up with an occasional email from this dude, you know, so that's it. But then they're on my list. And when the next book comes out, then they know right away, they know when it's up for pre-order, they see the cover reveal, they get the, you know, they get the release email. By the same token, if I'm doing a promo where I'm just advertising the prequel, they'll get the prequel and say, "Oh my God, this I hopefully they say I like this book. Let me buy the actual novel now." So it's really it's good marketing, and it's just you know, we're all everybody that's writing is, you know, we all want people to read our stuff, whether it's just for money or for the love of it or just to, you know. Just said, put our work out into the world, you know. And I think if anyone really cared about money, they wouldn't really go into horror. But if they would write those smutty romance novels.
You know, it's funny that you say that about the horror community, you know, being friendlier. And I have to say, because I do have a lot, I do see a lot of the romance community online as well. And wow, there are some bullies, some mean people.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that the horror community is funny too,
to be
because
I mean, so I'm just gonna say, you get those in any community. There's always, no matter what, you know, whatever it is, there's always going to be people like that.
That is true. Yeah. I do think as a whole, we're just better, just nicer and more stable sometimes. And I do think, we've said this before, it's because we can kill people in our writing and we just get out that
100%.
That angst. And we're, we don't need to go see a therapist. We're just going to...
Yeah, 100%, because it's you know, I wrote a blog post a couple of years ago when I first started, and it was about why horror, and it's like horror lets us deal with our real fears and our real...
Yes.
despair and our real dark emotions. And by getting it out and having this outlet, you know, I think we end up being more well-adjusted in a lot of cases.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Well, James, I hate to say this, but we're just about out of time for our first segment. I've had much fun. You have to promise to come back and see us.
Absolutely. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. I enjoyed talking to you guys. I'd love to be back on sometime.
Awesome. And before we let you go, tell us where we can find you online.
All right. Well, the main place you can find me is my website, www.jamescane.net. That's where you can join my mailing list. I got a merch shop. My stuffed werewolf is a pretty big seller right now, which is nice. And, you know, so you find out all you need to know, probably on social media. I'm most active on Facebook, facebook.com/JamesCaneWrites. I do have other socials. You know, my link tree is on my website too, so you can get all my social links, but, Facebook and, my website are the two best places. And my email, james@jamescane.net. Anyone can email me anytime. I answer everyone. I might be a little slow at times, but I will definitely get back to you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And for all of our listeners out there, go out and find My Pet Werewolf by James Cane. And thank you so much. I can't wait to have you back on.
All right, great. Thank you guys so much. Best of luck to you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Speak to you later. Cheers. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good night.
And you. It's great. As you know, I'm a huge werewolf fan. It's always great to it's a trope, but I'm kind of pleased it's not been overdone. But I'd like to see some more great stories. There's been talk about Dog Soldiers too, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen. That's been lauded for a lot of years now, but I would like to see sequels. I've got one of my favourites. I mean, next to The Howling, I think Dog Soldiers is one of my favourite werewolf movies. So there you go. Anywho, it is time for a quick break. Then we're going to come back, and we've got the lovely Samantha. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by Hellbound Books Publishing, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher, along with links to all of their available works across platforms, at hellboundbookspublishing.com. In the mood for something steamy to read? Check out erotica author Jennifer Lynn at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James and Xtina at their respective websites, jameslongmore.com for James and darkpoetprincess.com for Xtina. Don't forget to follow The Panic Room on social media, Facebook unofficial, The Panic Room Radio Show, our Vimeo channel with all of our previous shows, the new Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com.
By HellboundBooks.com.
Well, we are back. Are we back? Are you back here, Christina?
I am. There's just like that brief when the music stops and before you talk, I still have a moment of panic. Just a moment.
After all this, but have I ever let you down? Yeah, yes, I have. I have. I there's been times I've not been there.
I think once in like 300 and some shows, but I still, and you know what, even if you weren't there, I still could like fumble around for a minute or so in hopes that you showed up. But at the same time, yeah.
I usually pop up again, so everything is all right.
Yeah.
So anywho, we missed her last week, God bless her, so it is time when we do this bit.
Time for another book review.
There you go, Samantha. The full thing. All the music and all the build up and the cheer and so how was that for you, Samantha? Was it good?
I really love that. Jaws is one of my favorites, so I love the build up.
Excellent. It was therefore fitting.
Did you have a nice Halloween, Samantha?
It wasn't bad. My little boy isn't really a fan, so his Halloween party, like, it was just kind of like a bust. He wanted to go home. My daughter lives for Halloween though, so we did a lot of running. But I tell you, like, trick or treat now isn't what it was when I was a kid. Like, there were so many houses that just don't participate, and you would walk, like, long stretches with, like, no houses with lights on, but she made out with some good candy, so it was fun.
That's good. Yeah, it's definitely different than it used to be, I think. And I think these days they do so much more with, like, the trunk-or-treat thing.
Yes,
and
trunk-or-treats are really taking over. But I have no desire to stand in lines like that. The lines are so long.
And they do it on, like, the weekend or something before Halloween. I mean, our little neighborhood chat for the subdivision we're in, where, you know, they're asking, so when do you guys do Halloween? I'm like, Halloween, you know?
Yeah. Well, and where we're at, we've had trunk-or-treats. Like, there was a trunk-or-treat literally every day of October in just different locations.
Wow.
And we went to one near our house, but I mean, we waited in line for 2 hours. 2 hours. It just was not worth
it. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, nothing like that here. So, what do you have for us this evening?
Oh, I pulled out my copy of Beautiful Tragedies 3 because I really wanted to go through it and see who I was included with. since I am published in this one, and I really have to bring attention to you, Xtina, because you open this anthology with some really just really intense, really intense
Thank
work.
You.
A Burning House is really, really good. I just wasn't, I was expecting you to open, but I wasn't expecting such like intensity. It's different than your other stuff. Jerry is killing it. And so is Mike Annenbach in this collection.
Yes.
There's so many people to go through in here, but all three of you have really stood out. Mike really has some great stuff. He just hits you in your feels, and I don't even think he realizes that he is he's throat punching you with his words.
Yes.
It's
like
a serious throat punch.
I'm
going to be honest, I'm a little disappointed that James wasn't in this. I know he had at least one rhyming poem up his sleeve.
No, I didn't. Honestly, no.
No.
No, I've written my one and only poem, and that's it. That no more. I was drained.
One and done.
Poetically speaking, I was drained.
One and done. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I was also really shocked to see Josh Darling in here. I've read for him before, and he's great. But I didn't know. I don't know why I didn't know that he wrote poetry.
Oh, yeah, I believe he was in the first volume as well, or maybe he's been in all three. But, and he's just so blunt, I think, is the word I want to use with him.
I was reading through his poems and felt the same way.
Yeah, and I think that's what I love about it. Like, I don't know if I would say, you know, there are, you know, they're like really crazy dark or anything, but talk about, you know, blunt and a tragedy. And
his Jack
really
the Ripper poem in here was really, really good. I wasn't expecting that from him.
Yeah, I just think it was a great collection, and I was very happy that I got to put it together and see it through all the different stages and, you know, pick out the artwork.
I have to be honest. I think this one is the best of all three. I really do.
Wow.
This one has some really good, pieces in here. Like even, is it Chris McAuley? I don't know if I'm saying his last name right, but he even had some like great rhyming poems that I wasn't expecting, because many of these are not rhyming.
Right, right.
And I was reading him wondering if like James picked him, because he was like, oh, we have to have one rhyming poem.
James, I pretty much give it to James all completed, because he was like, oh gosh, poems again. So
we know that poetry is James's favorite.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I can't get enough of it, obviously.
He keeps it close to the sleeve there.
I said at the beginning of the year, no poetry this year. And how many poetry books have we had out this year?
Three.
More than that. No, because Xtina's done how many? She's done two this year. Jerry did one. We've got this one.
Oh, yeah.
It's just what?
We don't talk about it.
Going
we don't talk about it. But Samantha, what would you give this one?
Oh, no, it's definitely a solid five-star. This collection was really good, and there was such a, like, an eclectic selection of poets in this one. There are so many different – I'm trying to think. I'm looking through my Kindle. What is – I'm going to butcher the name. It was the one where it's the Chinese poem where you go through and it, has the characters. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I'm not going to try to pronounce the name.
And we're gonna butcher the name. But I even thought that was just so creative to even like include that, because it was just so different from like a lot of the other pieces.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And the ending, the two final submissions there. I thought
the anthology just to a great close. Such a great close.
Yeah, they were just, and it was, they were simple, but still, you read it, or for me, I read it and went, ouch. And I was like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I loved it.
That was funny to me. I didn't expect him to be so short and so simple in comparison to, like, how it opened. But I thought that Hannah did a really good job bringing just everything to a close.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. And I'm so glad that you reviewed it because, you know, especially when it comes to poetry, I don't get to brag on it enough, but it was so much fun. And there are
this is one that I got included in, which was really cool, like to say that I'm published with you and Mike and Jerry. Mm-hmm. That's, like, really, really cool.
You are a published poet now. Good for you.
Yeah, and it's so strange. Just to see how you guys feel.
Well done.
Thank you. Unless I can imagine how you guys feel every time you put something out. It's got to be like, it has to feel like this because
it's surreal.
Really cool.
It's surreal. And I walked around when from the passenger window went live, and I don't know, it's weird because nobody else around you is excited as you are. So, you know, you're, like, looking at everybody like, oh, my God, don't you realize what just happened? Aren't you, like, you know, so, and so it's kind of weird. It's weird because you feel it inside and you know, you want, like, the sunlight to shine on you and you want the red carpet. And you get none of that, so.
No, you don't. You definitely don't. I was sending screenshots of, like, my stuff through the Kindle Unlimited just so they could see, like, how it would look. You know, outside of the copy you had sent, that was, like, the finished edited copy. And I was like, look how cool this is.
Yes, it's beautiful. So, yeah, I thank you so much, Sam, for coming on and talking about such, you know, how amazing we all are. And I hope that you have a great week. And I can't wait to hear what you have for us next week.
Yes, absolutely. You guys have a good weekend.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye, Samantha. Bye-bye. There we go. Poems. I can't get enough.
Yay.
Enough. Yeah. Especially if they don't rhyme.
I know. It's amazing.
Right. Okay. We I think we need to bring our... He's in the green room. You do what you do best.
All righty, our next guest of the evening, we have horror author Chase Will.
Hello.
Yay.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hi, we're good, Chase. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
Good. So where are you calling in from? What time zone are you at the moment?
I'm in Eastern Standard Time. I'm in Port Clinton, Ohio.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Same.
You got the cold weather up there as well?
Oh, it's super freezing outside. Actually, I had to put on a sweater today.
Oh, my goodness.
I had my winter jacket on the last 2 days. Winter jacket the last 2 days, guys. Winter jacket. And I still couldn't get warm. So, and we're just starting.
Where did summer go?
Yeah, right. I think less than a week ago, we were, you know, warm. So,
go swimming.
Yeah, but I actually do love this weather, even though, okay, let me take that back. I love this weather. I love to have this weather while I'm sitting in my warm house. On my warm couch. I love to, you know, so I don't want to go out in it or anything. So when I say I love this weather, going outside, I'm miserable. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so cold. I can't wait to get back in the house. But then I'm like, oh, I love this weather. So it's just, you know,
yeah,
it's really weird to be me. Yeah. But I can't wait. I hope we have some snow this year. Last year, I think we might have had a teeny tiny trace once. And that was it. So I'm hoping that we get some.
We had snow on Halloween.
Wow. You know, that's too soon.
Yeah, it's poor trick-or-treaters.
Oh, no. Yeah. I do remember the last year I went trick-or-treating myself when I lived up in upstate New York. There was snow on the ground. And, of course, you know, you never want to dress – you've got your costume and you're, you know, you don't want to have like snow boots because you got your costume on. Yeah, it's just awful. Just awful. But I'm just happy it didn't rain or anything here. So we had nice weather. It was a little chilly, but we all survived. So, Anyway, Chase, you are here to talk to us tonight about your book, Where Dreams Are Entombed. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's a book about desperation. It's about an artist kind of living in squalor, making ends meet, and then he gets invited to become a collaborator at an experimental art gallery. And the person who's running the gallery has her own intentions with him that may be a little risky.
Interesting. Where did this idea come from?
It kind of came from my own desperation, you know, trying to make it as an artist, trying to do your own thing and live outside of the norm. I think it's something everybody can relate to at some level. I think we all have desperation within us to be something more than we are, or something that, you know, is out of reach, because we're always kind of working towards something and it's always just out of reach. You feel like if you want to take that next step, you have to kind of sacrifice for it.
That is I was going to say that's kind of sad, but it's true. It's very true.
Yeah, it's kind of
a
dark book. It's definitely some heavy stuff inside of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just reading the tagline to myself here. A desperate rock musician gets more than he bargains for when he's enlisted as a collaborator at a local art gallery. That's, the whole rock musician. Do you have any kind of background in music?
I do karaoke.
Ah.
I have no like formal background. I tried to play guitar, but I'm still taking lessons. But I've always been a huge music fan, particularly Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson and Pantera and everything like that.
I had a Halloween mix that I play I think it was on Google Music or YouTube Music. And a little playlist, and you know, it had songs from like the Beetlejuice movie, and you know, some really fun things. And then there was this one song, and we got like a throng of kids coming up, and I'm like, "What is this song?" It was Marilyn Manson doing some Halloween thing, but I mean, it was legitimately a Halloween song, but it was Marilyn Manson. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, got like 3 year olds here," and Marilyn Manson barking out some song. It was great. I'm the same way when it comes to music. I have absolutely no musicality at all. But I love it. I do. And if you turn up the music really, really loud, I sing amazing.
I'm probably about the same.
Yeah. And I've tried my hand at guitar and I just had no luck. And I always wanted to play piano. So it is, I think it's even more sad when you love music and you just used to have nothing. You got nothing to, contribute. But...
Well, nowadays you can learn everything on YouTube. You can learn how to scream. You can learn how to play guitar, learn how to play piano. It's all on there now.
Yes, my son actually picked up the guitar. I think it was about 3 years ago, and he's pretty much, self-taught, but it's with YouTube, and he's doing really good. He started out with, heavy metal stuff, and he's doing really good.
Those fast power chords.
I can recognize some songs sometimes, and that makes me really excited. But he won't ever learn one whole song. It'll just be like bits and pieces here and there, and like I want whole song. And so far I got nothing, but maybe someday.
Maybe he'll write his own.
Right, that would be okay. That would be really pretty cool. But, I want to hear more about Where Dreams Are Entombed. Do you have an excerpt that you're going to read for us?
I do.
Yay! Do you need to set it up or anything?
Oh, no, I got it right here. Want me to start?
Awesome. Sure, yes.
All right. Getting pretty scary around these parts, the Uber driver said abruptly, breaking Tommy from his memories. Come again? Some real messed up stuff going down, the driver said. You hear about what the police found yesterday on the side of the road? Tommy shook his head. I don't watch the news. "Oh, man," the driver said, half turning in the seat with an excited grin. "Check it out. So they found this guy in an alley, right? Just your average type of guy. No sign of gang affiliation, needle marks, none of that business. Total average Joe." "Yeah?" "Man's head was lopped clean off, just sitting beside him in an alleyway. Some poor girl found his corpse just chilling in front of the dumpster, guts pulled out and everything, knife wounds up and down his body. Looked like Jack the Ripper had gotten to him." "Shit." "Yeah, man, tell me about it. This whole damn city's a cesspool, you ask me. Violent crap happening wherever you look, and all anyone does is point a camera and pose for a selfie. If you stop what they're doing long enough to look, that is. You can get your ass beaten wholesale on a city sidewalk. And you know what people do here? They just keep walking past you. A city this big, we're always disposable, you know?" Tommy nodded along, half listening now. He'd heard all the nihilistic talk before. Deandra, his ex-wife, had bombarded him with it when he decided to move out of here to Los Angeles. "Probably just a young actor moved out here with stars in his eyes, looking to make it big," the driver continued. "Uh-huh. I moved out here 8 years ago, Michigan raised. Bad as it got in Detroit, people at least gave a damn from time to time, you know? Someone gets mutilated like that in our streets, community's out for blood. We'd sure as shit find out who did it." "Yeah?" Tommy honestly doubted it. "Oh, yeah. Not here, though. No one gives a damn here." Tommy looked at the GPS, willing the car to speed up. He wasn't exactly one for small talk. "How long you been doing the rideshare gig?" he asked. "Little over a year." "Yeah? Make pretty good money at it?" "Hell no. Not enough to make ends meet on its own, I mean. City like this, you need either multiple crappy jobs or one big break. That's what I'm after. And what do you do?" "Started as an actor. Got a few background gigs, not much else. What I really want to do is direct. Man, I've seen so many damn movies, I could direct the hell out of one." "I bet you could." "In fact," the driver said, reaching into his back pocket, he handed Tommy a business card. "Here, you can find all my short films and stuff on my website. Never know, right? Maybe you know someone who knows someone." "Sure." Tommy took the card and pretended to study it momentarily. He'd throw it away as soon as he got home. And that's it.
I was just kicking back with my feet up.
I was enjoying that. I could have given me the whole book. That was great. That was great.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what are you working on now?
I have a short story collection called Mandated Smiles and Other Tales That Are Strange. And Other Strange Tales. I butchered that one. That comes out December 19th in the short story collection.
Funny, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about outtakes and how easy it is to fumble something and say something wrong, especially when you're doing it live and you don't have a way to, you know, correct yourself. I'm thinking, I don't know how many times I say something. I'm just hoping that listeners don't realize that I'm just like mortified at whatever I just said. I'm hoping that we just move on and nobody knows. So I butcher stuff all the time. I try not to butcher people's names anymore. I ask ahead of time, but it used to be funny when James used to introduce the guests. And, you know.
You should pick them deliberately. You did.
I didn't, but it was funny. It was too much fun. Yeah. So now I usually ask, but tonight I had some good names, so I didn't have that problem tonight. But,
it's actually pronounced chasse wheel.
Right. You know, I should have said that just to mess with everyone. But you know, with just having passed Halloween, did anybody watch anything? Any good scary movies lately? New ones?
I watched that new one where evil lurks, or when evil lurks. That was pretty good.
I don't know if I know that one.
It's a movie, Terrified. It's actually on Shudder right now.
Huh, I'll have to give that one a look. I think the last, I don't know if I mentioned this on one of the other shows, the last one a new one that I watched was that The Evil Dead Rise or something. And I was not too thrilled. I mean, I think it's the beginning, I was kind of like, oh, this might be interesting. And then pretty much it was just a gore fest and, you know, kind of light on the story. So, I don't know. pictures.
Yeah, I like the 2013 version.
I'm trying. Oh, yeah. I did, too. I was creeped out. There was a lot of blood going on, but I did like it. But this one, I enjoyed the bits at the very beginning, and I think I was looking for, I don't know, more. I want to be scared. I want to be scared, and I cannot remember the last time that I was really scared. And I do see this often in the horror community when people are talking about a movie and they are really talking bad about jump scares. And I'm like, you know, I don't care how you get me to jump. It's the fact that I jumped. So I'm like totally okay with jump scares. You know, I mean, how do you feel about them?
I like jump scares. I don't really mind them. Like, especially with the Blumhouse movies, like there are a bunch of jump scares. And that's kind of their niche. But I think if you can craft like a really scary story that's atmospheric and have jump scares, it's kind of like the perfect combination. Like, you have to have a little bit of both. You have to have, you know, traditionally scary and then jump scares too.
Now, have you seen that, the new Fall of the House of Usher? Have you seen that one?
Oh, man, I loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I watched it all in one day.
Wow. How many episodes are there?
I think there were 8. I had a full day free, so sat down and got the Netflix in.
Yeah. I have seen I've seen people absolutely love it, and I've seen other people not impressed. So I'm kind of excited. I watched the first the Haunting of Hill House, or, you know, I thought that was really great. And then the Bly Manor came, and I thought that was really awesome too. And I've hear there's other ones, but those are the only two I've seen. So I'm kind of excited to watch it myself. But I definitely was hearing, some people. But that is the thing: never trust reviews. I have definitely learned that. You know, if you think of your very favorite book that you've ever read in your whole life, and you go to Amazon and you look it up, there are people that are going to tell you how absolutely horrible it is. So,
oh, my God, yeah. I was actually talking to my friend the other day about that. He got his first bad review, and I told him, you know, look at your favorite book on Amazon. People are going to hate it no matter what it is, no matter how famous it is, no matter how classical it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and not even that. I had a book that I just absolutely loved. I thought there was nothing bad about it anywhere. And I was reading the reviews, and, you know, one of the first bad reviews was like, you know, it's horrible writing. And I'm like, what? I mean, even it had me doubting my own taste. So that's why I just, say don't trust reviews ever. But I have to say with my own writing as well, my poetry books, the first time I got a bad review, I was actually excited about it because, you know, I don't know, I think it's like a badge of honor to have, a bad review. So
that's,
I was like excited about it. Yeah, I was like, oh my God, I have a bad review. And that was, it's like you finally made it, you've done something.
Yeah, somebody write me a bad review. It showed that they bought the book and returned it the next day, so they must not have liked it. But they wrote like a page and a half long review about how much the book had no effect on them. And I'm like, it must have had some effect on you if you wrote a page and a half about it.
Yes, yeah, definitely. That's you know, that one you should like frame actually and take a lot of pride in that one. Yeah. Yeah.
Get it blown up as a poster.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So, I love to, and I forgot to ask the first guest here. I do love, everybody loves Stephen King. So I do love to ask our guests, what is their favorite Stephen King novel?
I would have to say Revival, because that one's kind of like Frankenstein meets Lovecraft. I thought it was really well done.
Really? I've started that book twice now, and the last time I started, Stephen King, he's great. He has, I just absolutely love his writing, but it got too dark too fast for me. It just, so I mean, and it was just, Oh, man, I just felt awful for the little preacher guy. And, yeah, so I think I pretty much made it to his the terrible sermon, pretty much, and that was about it. But I felt so awful. So, and I think I was just going through, you know, a part of my life where I was like, I don't need this kind of darkness right now. So I definitely have to take another stab at it because it was, you know, Stephen King, and it's great. But, yeah.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's definitely times that I've read a book and I've not really cared for it too much, and then I go back again a second time and I'm like, holy crap, why did I stop? This was amazing. So probably definitely be one of those times. But I hate to do this. I think we are just about out of time for our show. And James has gone like really, really quiet there, and I think we've lost him. He says he wrote me and he said he's not sure what's going on at his end. But he is still there. He's still there listening, so, but, so, ooh, I can talk about baseball, and there's nothing you can do. Anyway, I won't do that, because you'll probably meet me anyway. But before we let you go, Chase, let us know where we can find you online.
I'm at chasewill.com. I'm also the host of the Family Fright Night Horror Podcast that's on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. Then I'm at chasewill.bigcartel.com for my shop. And, of course, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the cool millennial sites.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's all those sites. Yeah, and for all of our listeners out there, go out and pick up Where Dreams Are Entombed by Chase Will. And, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to have you back on the show.
I can't wait. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Good night.
Night.
Well, this is the part of the show where James would tell me to say good night, Xtina. So good night, Xtina.